First to just this news in the last hour or so, National's promising a short-term package of tax cuts worth more than $4.5 billion to kickstart the economy. The changes will be made by significant increases to income tax thresholds, but would only be in place for 16 months from December this year until March 2022. It's among a range of economic plans outlined by the party this morning. Our political editor Jane Patterson has been at the announcement. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Catherine.
So they're temporary tax cuts, and just explain how they'd be delivered.
So basically by raising all of those income tax thresholds, so basically people can earn more before having to pay the higher rate. Now, as we know with tax thresholds, anything that you do at the bottom also benefits those at the top, the way the tax system works. So basically National saying that this would be a very broad-based benefit. They say 2.6 million New Zealanders would benefit, and the average earner about $3,000 over the term of that 16 months. But come March 2022, the tax cut would be reversed and you would be back to paying what you would be paying today under a National government, unless of course they made further changes to the tax system. Now, other key aspects of this, they have walked back on their debt repayment schedule. They said that the pre-election economic update just showed that that was far too ambitious. It wasn't going to be practical. So they've pared back their debt repayment. And the other interesting thing where I think this is going to be one of the potential political vulnerabilities, trimming back the amount for new spending under the May budget. Under the government, it was $2.4 billion each year available for new spending. Under National, that would be $1.8 billion.
Okay, let's look at it in parts. So the threshold, the 10.5% threshold rises from kicking in at applying at 14,000 to applying 20. At 20,000. The 17.5, yep. Instead of applying at 20,000, oh, just help me out here, 17.5%.
Yeah, then it goes up from the lower threshold, 20 to 64 would be the 17.5%. 64 to 90,000 earnings would be taxed at 30%, and effectively creating a new top tax threshold at 90%. And that's where that 33% tax would kick in. So if you apply those savings throughout all of those thresholds, that's where you get the savings. It's really, it's a big hit, but it's a short hit, and it's all aimed at stimulating the economy and getting money back out into people's pockets and bank accounts with the idea that they would spend it and hopefully not save it. That is the risk, of course, in a recession, that people aren't necessarily out there with their wallets open. But this is what this package is about.
It's almost like helicopter money only delivered through the tax system for a period of time. Okay, so that's interesting, because they'd sort of got themselves in a corner again by saying no tax cuts at all. And what was said about that?
Yeah. Judith Collins addressed that today. So basically, you know, we've been told over the recent months that they weren't looking at any tax cuts further than threshold changes that had been flagged by Simon Bridges, and that involved just linking it to the rise of inflation, repealing the Auckland fuel tax and promising no new taxes. So that was sort of their position up until today. Judith Collins said, again, that pre-election update just showed that a massive stimulatory package was needed. And of course, it's not the worst policy to be going into an election with too. I think everyone would welcome a tax cut as long as they can be convinced that there aren't going to be cuts or sacrifices made. And I will say one element of savings that the National Party says they will make is suspending Superfund contributions. Of course, that had happened under the previous National government. The Coalition resumed them. That's about $2 billion a year that they would have access to. Also flagging cuts to, quote, wasteful spending, like the tertiary fees free, and also to KiwiBuild.
So let's look at the consequences. You mentioned the new spending of each year, $2.4 billion each year in Labor's proposals. That was what was in the budget, was it?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, 2.4.
So taking that back to $1.8 billion, the challenge with new spending, isn't it, is always the population growth pressures and just the overall inevitable pressures on budgets. Is that going to be something that political opponents might hone in on as to what the real effect of that might be? Do you think they've left enough of a buffer, National, to be able to argue we can do this without what would be effective cuts?
Look, a couple of things. They've revised back their debt repayment, so that gives them extra room to be able to spend in the areas that they want to. But, of course, there's going to be a debate about the that cap on new spending and, you know, contingency, disasters, you name it. We obviously have the COVID fund, but that's basically the, you know, the money left to a government. So it does restrict their options. Now, the National Party plan has been reviewed by NZIER, and they have come back and basically said that the fiscal commitments are within its proposed spending allowance levels. The party has left itself just over $10 billion in unallocated operating fiscal headroom to give itself a bit of wriggle room. So NZIER has ticked it off in terms of the numbers adding up, but the political arguments will come in about where that spending, where that quote, more disciplined spending from National will come. But also the NZIER report does say, and that was stated by Judith Collins and Paul Goldsmith, this plan does not involve a cut to spending in education, health, those core services. And in fact, in some areas, there's actually a bit more spending on those areas.
Where is the money for the tax cut coming from? Are they using that unallocated, is it $14 billion that was left from the COVID fund?
No, I don't think so, and I haven't had time. I've just come back from the media conference, so okay. Haven't done that line by line, but basically the savings that they have flagged,
right.
The ability to do it is within that longer debt repayment, and also, as I said, like that super fund. I mean, that's a big contribution each year, and they've identified other areas of spending. So, no, look, from what I can see, that $14 billion COVID fund is sitting there for the purpose for which it was intended. The plan is within the general financial books.
Okay, it's bold, Jane.
It is bold, and it does open them up for exactly those kind of questions. You know, where are you going to spend it? Can we rely on National to maintain those social services if they get into government? They've already got this big tax plan locked in, and something happens. Do they have the ability, those contingency funds, to be able to respond? But look, it creates a really good debate for the election campaign. For Labor, the only tax plan they have is to increase taxes on income on earnings over 180,000. So you've got one stark difference there already for those higher income earners, either quite a lot more in your pocket if you were earning over 180,000 under National and paying more under Labor. So
when you look at
starting to get those differences emerge.
Where you look at where it works also, for those who are in straitened circumstances, and plenty are at the moment on lower incomes really feeling it, the tax cut is always an attractive proposition. Providing, as you say, they don't feel that they're going to lose somewhere else. People don't feel they're going to lose somewhere else. So that'll become a point of debate. And this is the thing. We've not had any point of difference. We've not had any significant difference, really, between National and Labor over the broad issues. This is the biggest gap that's opened up between them in some ways over how to deal with the economic effects of COVID.
That's right. But again, on the flip side of that, if you look at those lower income households, National said this is really aimed at the average income earner. But of course, tax cuts, the more you pay, the more you benefit, and the opposite. So if you're looking at someone under National's plan on $40,000, the weekly savings would be $8, $50,000, $12. When you get up to $80,000, you're saving $52. So look, everything counts. I know that, but you know, this isn't exactly delivering huge amounts of money into the families and the pockets of people who are probably going to be much more likely to be hit financially during this recession. And that is definitely a political line of attack, I'm sure, parties like Labor and the Greens will take.
There would be plenty of households, though, especially those struggling with accommodation costs and house prices at the moment, for whom that would make a material difference. I take your point. It's interesting the demographics who are going to respond, but it's a bold policy, and there had been calls for them to do something bold, something other than just we can do what they're doing only better.
That's right. And as you said, this really does give a clear point of difference. And National will argue their case that they can do this by leveraging off the government's balance sheet in terms of that borrowing and not being in such a rush to pay down debt. Across from Labor, who will really be running, I'm sure, that Protect the Public Services line. Even though National's released its plan, that will not stop its opponents, I'm sure, from trying to find holes in where that spending is going to be cut, because Labor's very strong message coming out of COVID or coming through COVID is that austerity cuts aren't the way to go. It's made a big deal of that. So it'll be looking to highlight any flaws it can find in National's plan.
What's the mood like around the National camp today? Obviously, it's such an unusual campaign, isn't it? It's so constrained in many ways. But were they perky delivering this today?
Judith Collins is traditionally pretty perky in terms of, and especially when she's got a good chunky policy to announce, which this certainly is. Look, I think this will be their key election promise. They will really put a lot of stock in this. It delivers material cash into people's pockets, which, again, for a voter, you know, it's hard to argue with if you're being promised more money. And I'm sure people, of course, will look beyond that. But look, I think they recognise, as you say, that they were actually up there finally delivering a bold policy and one with potential electoral appeal. Of course, could be seen as an election bribe, but then, you know, parties campaign on getting the support of voters and by presenting a decent plan. So, look, they were pretty pleased with it. Again, I do think it creates a good focus for them as they go into this campaign that I think is difficult at the moment for, you know, really get people engaged. I think people are tired with COVID. They're tired of politics. So policies like this hopefully will spark some good debate and, you know, get voters maybe looking about what those parties are offering.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Jane Patterson, our political editor. And we will be speaking with National's finance spokesman and also with Labor's finance spokesman on Thursday and Friday. The 1st of October is that date. I think it's the 1st and 2nd of October. We'll be speaking also to the two leaders, the two would-be prime ministers, in the week leading up to Election Day on 9 to Noon.